Tonight we're going to talk about Hannah and her prayer to God. So a little background on Hannah. I'm sure everyone knows Hannah was the mother of Samuel. And Samuel was a pretty important person in the Old Testament. He was a prophet of God's. He anointed Saul. Saw some kind of turbulent times there. But we're really not going to talk about Samuel. We're going to talk about his mother. Now, while you're listening to me get warmed up here, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we'll begin reading about that. But there's an interesting study about Hannah. I want to lead off with something we've talked about already several times in this class. But, you know, what prayer is not and what prayers God answers. And this is a nice little paragraph out of a book of sermons by Brother G.K. Wallace. And this is what he says prayer is not. This is one of the three things. I'm going to read it. We should not feel that prayer is a means to ministering to our selfishness. James says, "Ye have not because you don't ask." Now, we've read that before here in this class. And the reason you do not have is because we do not ask. Then the reason we do not receive when we ask is because we are selfish in our petition. Ye receive not, says James, because ye ask amiss, and you might spend it on your pleasures. Whatever you're asking for is for your pleasure. And God has not promised to answer selfish prayers. It's very difficult. This is what he says. It is very difficult to separate our selfishness from our requests. Yet a selfish prayer will not be answered. So we're gonna dive into that statement when we get into this about Hannah. But I wrote over here on this where it says the prayers God answers. He writes, this is G.K. Wallace again, God will answer the prayer that is offered in harmony with his will. And this is what he says, and this is the boldness which we have towards him, that if we ask according to his will, he will hear us. He hears a man who's according to his will, says the Apostle John, God's will is revealed in the Bible. So I ask the question to myself, if I ask something in selfishness, but it is the will of God that it gets done, the interesting thing is we might think we had our prayer answered, but all along it was for a bigger purpose that we had no knowledge of. Now, I agree that selfish requests are definitely not heard. I mean, our heart has to be in a place where it's humility and supplication that we're asking in great reverence and humility, and our heart has to be right. And it has to align with the will of God. But there are some circumstances where, like in Hannah's case, she was desperate for a child. And I think came to the realization later that this was for the glory of God. But initially, I think it was her request was more for her own selfish desire. And we may see it differently, but in the beginning, I believe it's kind of like that. The good news is that she realized at the end that it was for God's glory that this child was born to her. I know her heart was good. We read about it, but let's go through it here. Let's go into 1 Samuel. I'm going to start with chapter 2 first, and we're going to read Hannah's prayer. Chapter 2, verse 1, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes the poor and makes the rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of the faithful one, but all the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken into pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now, initially, my first response to that prayer was that Hannah was a faithful person of God. That is a very deep, meaningful prayer, and not one that someone that is just learning how to pray would pray. Would you agree with that? I believe that Hannah was in chapter 1 was struggling with a lot of things, and you didn't see the evidence of this type of faith early on in the first chapter of Samuel. As a matter of fact, when we read chapter 1 of Samuel, it talks about her in chapter 1, verse 2. It talks about her husband. And Hannah was one of two wives. And Hannah had no children. She was barren. In verse 3, her husband would go every year by year, to his city, it says, to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. He gave, in verse 5, when he prayed and offered sacrifice, he gave double portion towards Hannah because he loved her. It says, through the Lord and had closed, but the Lord had closed her womb. He knew that she was unable to have children, but yet prayed for her continuously and offered more sacrifice for her on her behalf. Now, I'm going to make a point about that in just a moment, but I'm going to run through the rest of this first chapter. The next thing that was interesting is that while this was happening, in verse 6, her rival, which I would assume to be the first wife, provoked her grievously, it says, to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And it says that while she provoked her, Hannah wept and would not eat. So The family dynamic right there is pretty interesting to me. You have a woman that is not got what she wants right now. She's obviously would like to be a fruitful wife to her husband, and she's not able to produce a child. She's grieved and vexed, and she's anxious about it. She's definitely a good woman. Her husband thinks enough of her to offer sacrifice for her, loves her enough to give her a double portion, and he's super respectful to her. I mean, every indication shows that he is on her side. However, because of her situation and the jealousy that's there inside that dynamic, she's provoked by her equal in such a way that it just makes her miserable. And she gets really down about it. Now, that's so similar to our own lives. We have the same things that happen day in and day out. We have people on our behalf that love us unconditionally, that will pray for us and lift us up before the Lord, sanctifying us when we can't. And we deal with outside influence that tries to pull us down. That's the way it's been, and it's always going to be that. But the important thing is, the note that I made was, is there somebody still there day after day, year after year, all the time, willing to go to bat for you? And we talked about that in the first class. I said there are always people that you can lean on, and you hope to have that person or that relief valve. Not just prayer, but someone on your behalf that basically brings you up, lifts you up out of trouble. And I think that when we talk about being a Christian light to everyone, we really have to think that through, because if we're not that light to people, you may come in contact with somebody that may not have that relief valve that's right here close by. I mean, that could be your moment to show them that you are friendly to them, kind, and have a moment to listen, and maybe you'll just get an opportunity to pray for that person. Maybe with them, maybe away from them, but you may have that opportunity, and it may make a big difference. I believe it will. In my heart, I do believe that it will. What we say and what we do and how we listen and react to certain things is a great time and opportunity for us to take advantage of the gifts we've been given. We get in a big rush, and we don't have a whole lot of time to just listen sometimes to other people. I'm guilty of that. I was so busy today, I couldn't hardly think straight. I mean, that's just the way it is for all of us. I'm sure of it. But Hannah had someone ultimately there. And not only did that bridge that horrible gap where she was persecuted by someone in her household, it was an example for her to keep the faith, because she continued on, because we just read a powerful prayer that she offered. My phone went out, so I'm going to turn it back on, and we're going to continue. The next thing in this chapter that's interesting is that she got so down that she dropped her knees and petitioned God. And she did it in front of a prophet. And do y'all remember what the prophet thought while she was praying? They thought she was drunk. He thought that Hannah was out of her mind. lost her marbles. You know, and I thought, well, there's another good reason right here for us to, when we have a really tough time with something, to get off into secrecy, to close the door, and to petition God. That's a great example of that. I'd see that happening, never really quite understood why. I mean, until, you know, you try it yourself because the distractions are gone. You know, you get up early in the morning like Jesus did and you purpose to go and pray, you will focus on praying. There's not a whole lot of distractions. I mean, you can ignore a lot of things 5 a.m. when no one's up. Don't turn the TV on. Don't let the dog out for the bathroom. Whatever you got to do to try to set aside some quiet time to offer up prayers, it's a good thing to do that. Question is, the selfishness side of it. Are we focusing on what God wants for us when we pray? Is it wrong to have selfish desires when we pray? I don't think so. I think that's the beginning of starting a prayer life. I mean, if it's a selfish feeling for me to say, I don't want to be anxious about what I'm dealing with in life, so therefore I'm going to pray. I don't know if that's the selfish heart that we're talking about, because we're supposed to give all of our burdens to the Lord. That's not the selfish side I'm thinking about. The selfish side I'm thinking about is if I'm going to have a prayer and it's to seek vengeance on my enemy. I mean, that is not what we're called to do when we petition God. That's not part of the plan. You know, Hannah, you know, wanted a child. She wanted it for a lot of reasons. What are some of the reasons you think that Hannah wanted to have a child? Do you think that she knew that this child was going to be some great prophet? I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us that that's so. You know, in chapter 3, the prophet, I just forgot his name. Give me a moment. I'm having one of those. Eli. Eli had, it says, chapter 3, it says he had some really bad sons. Don't know if Hannah knew that or not. But part of God's plan is, you know, the next person that's got to come in line after Eli's got to be a man of God. And if Eli's sons were a bunch of scoundrels, that's probably not a good candidate for the next prophet for Israel. So what was my question? Do you think that Hannah thought that she was praying for the next prophet of Israel, or do you think she was just praying because she wanted a child? So anyway, I think she just wanted a child. She felt like that having the child would strengthen her relationship with her husband. Clearly, that wasn't the case. He said to her that he was better than 10 sons. I mean, I don't think that was, I should say that more often, as a matter of fact. But the point is that he had a great love for her, whether she provided him an heir or not. It was still a really good relationship. What other Old Testament relationship do you remember that was very similar to that? That there was a husband and a wife. The wife couldn't get pregnant. The husband loved her. Anybody? Yeah. Rachel. boy, did they shenanigans around in all kind of ways. But the big picture is God's going to do what God wants to do. And the prayer avenue for us is, it's for us to relieve our anxiety. It may not solve the problem initially. It may not be the answered prayer that you specifically want. But the way I read prayer and what I've seen in my study is the primary reason is it helps eliminate a lot of the stress if you just turn it over to God. I can get wrapped up in a lot of things that tie me up tight. And I feel tension in my stomach. And if I can just pray it out, I can release that. Is that not what prayer is good for? For Hannah, it was. I mean, we read about this and we see Hannah was completely upside down and people thought she was drunk. But she wasn't. She had just laid it on the line right then and there in the presence of whoever. And she turned it over to God because it says after that, she cleaned herself up and went about her business. Now, I remember another story about somebody that prayed and was anxious and absolutely destroyed inside. And finally, what was done is done. He turned it over to God and then cleaned himself up and worshiped God. Do you remember who that person was? David. David did that. Same thing Hannah did. And he was a man after God's own heart. We always have to say that when we say David. I mean, that's just like the footnote. You got to say that. I said it. So Hannah has this baby. And what does she do? We all know, I think, what she does. I guess the question is did she have any trouble after having the baby deciding to devote the child to God? I don't read anywhere in this story that Hannah had any other intention other than to give it back to God. Just give it to God. So when we talk about giving, and when we, especially on Sunday, when we talk about the contribution, and we use the verse about you can't outgive God. You give it to him so much, shaken down, it running over. He gives it back. Whatever you give, he's going to give you way more back. Hannah made the commitment that she would give this to God, and it ended up being a special gift that God used in a special way. I don't know if she ever realized it, but I'm sure in the peripheral, in the background, the backstory of the verses that we read, that she was especially proud of this. So giving it to God, giving over our anxiety, committing to God in the act of faith, it only can yield peace and bounty, basically God's blessings. And we learned that from Hannah. And I wrote a bunch of other stuff down I hadn't even read. So let me look at it just for a minute. Well, I basically went over all this stuff. I like the story because God's will is going to be done whether we We feel like asking something may be a selfish desire to have a child, for instance, like Hannah, but ends up becoming a blessing in our lives. But the intention, though, was for Hannah, in my opinion, after you read this, is that she really wanted a connected relationship and to be somewhat of a status, the status symbol that she thinks she deserved. But learn through the process of getting disappointed or being humiliated that it humbled her to a point where she grew in faith. And it was it's a powerful story for us to read and dig deep into, because we can have troubles and issues that we have to deal with from time to time. And we definitely want to offer those up, concerns to God for guidance and help. But we also have to remember that he's going to watch over us because we're his children, and he cares a lot about us and is going to help us through those issues. Any questions or comments about Hannah? I haven't really read about Hannah in a long time. I mean, we talk about Samuel an awful lot. But I think there's more to gain by studying this this prayer that she offered God. And how similar her story is to so many others in the Old Testament and in the Bible about how she approached God, what God delivered, and how her faith was increased and how she was able to have blessing because of her commitment to God, committing, you know, her child to the Lord. As a parent, we all should do that. We should commit our children to God. We'll talk about promises that we make to God and how serious they are. And you know, when you pray, making a promise is something very, very special to God. And so, you know, part of that is making sure that the promise we make, we can keep. Because he keeps his promises. Any comments at all? Any questions? I went this route this week because there are people in this group that in our congregation that are dealing with what family matters, and you know, it's not just a person that says pray for me because I'm dealing with that. The important thing to know is everyone is dealing with a family matter of some sort. And you can get to a really low point with a family matter. And it's perfectly normal to feel despair and doubt and sadness and confusion about the whole situation. But the outlet we have is each other and the vehicle of prayer. And we have to always remember that for our sanity. And don't worry about what people say or judge you for praying or having a good relationship with someone that supports and lifts you up before God. If that's something people make fun of, don't let it get to you. Just count it as a gain. That's all this simple person has to offer tonight. And for you few that are here and you millions online, Thank you for being here. We'll end in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can approach you and offer our thoughts and concerns to you. And we pray, Father, for our hearts that we are not selfish when we request and petition you. We pray, Father, that you relieve us from the stress and burdens that we have. We pray that you're with each and every one in this group and in that are listening in our congregation. We pray for strong relationships, Father, and we pray that your will is always done through us. We thank you so much for your Son. We have no faith without him. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.